This is an iHeart podcast.
Trump went to McDonald's. Communists are out of touch. I will explain where I have been for the last week. We have Mark Halperin here, Bianca De La Garza. What a comeback show on I'm Right. All right, we are going to get into politics and the race and Trump and Kamala Harris, and I cannot freaking wait to get back and talk some politics with you. Maybe I forgot how to talk, but I have to explain to you where I was for the last week. Many of you already know my father, Don Kelly, passed away unexpectedly in the middle of the night. It was obviously horrible, and it's been horrible. And please pray for my family and my mother, Lisa. It is also how I want to go. It's how we'd all want to go. Passed away in his sleep in the middle of the night. So there's that. So let's get past that. I was gone for a week to obviously care for my mother, funeral, all those things. That's where we were. Before I get into the news of the day, I will just tell you this. There's a bunch I could say right now, but I will tell you, you know how we talk all the time about community, legal, local, take back your community, talk to your friends, family, neighbors more. I really saw evidence of how much that means last week, the way my mother's church rallied around her, the way her neighborhood, they were friends with all their neighbors, rallied around her. Wow, you really saw that in times of struggle, in times of trouble. So if you've ever been annoyed by how often I talk about caring for your community, taking back your community and things like that, I have bad news. I'm probably going to ramp that up from here. All right? Now, enough of that. And also, one final thing. I did get your endless well wishes, the emails, social media. It all came pouring in. I didn't have time or, frankly, the energy to respond to everything, but I read it and my mother read it, and it meant the world to us. Thank you. I love you. I love you. All right. Now enough. Stop worrying about me. Let's talk about politics, shall we? I feel like talking about politics. I've missed you. So yesterday, flying back from Montana, that's where the funeral was, I finally decided to dig back into politics. So I pick up my phone. I got Wi-Fi on the phone, not to brag. I paid the $8, but I got Wi-Fi on the phone and I start scrolling through social media. And what's the first thing I really see after this week gone? I see Donald Trump spent the day at McDonald's?
Tight. We got the salt on it. Never touches the human hand.
Very good. Very
nice
good.
And full.
Thank you.
Good. Now I have worked at McDonald's. I've now worked for 15 minutes more than Kamala.
Come on, I could do this all day. I wouldn't mind this job. I like this job. I think I might come back and do it again.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Nice to see you.
You made it possible for ordinary people like us to meet you.
You're not ordinary.
I mean, thank you so much
for everything you're doing. I can see.
We pray for you, and you are the type of person we want to be the president.
Thank you very much.
So nice. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I took a bullet. That's right.
Thank you, Mr. President.
When you think about it, I guess that's right.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay. So let's talk. Is it a political stunt? You know, there's been a lot of criticism. We'll get to the less reaction to it. Of course it's a political stunt. Donald Trump doesn't work at McDonald's. He's a freaking billionaire businessman, former president of the United States of America. So of course it's a political stunt. But there are stunts, and there are stunts, you see. When Tim Walz goes out to pretend to be a pheasant hunter, and it's revealed that he has a very difficult time loading a shotgun, which is really quite easy for anyone who's ever hunted pheasants, which I have extensively. Well, that's what you call, it's a stunt that doesn't resonate with people, you see, because he's pretending, it's obvious that he's pretending, yet he's trying to act like he belongs there. Why does this stunt work? Because I sat there on that phone, having just gotten back into politics, and I laughed and I enjoyed it, and I thought it was one of the greatest things I've seen. Why does it work? Because it's self-depreciating, and Did you hear what Donald Trump said to the one guy in that video? And there's a lot more clips I could show you, but the guy pulls up and he's so excited, right? He gets to meet Donald Trump. It's you know, made his life, I'm sure. And the guy says, you know, you let us meet ordinary people, said something to that effect. And did you hear what Donald Trump said to him? Trump looked at him and he said, you're not ordinary. Now, Donald Trump's father, a lot of people know this, but Donald Trump's father, who was a businessman as well, used to make Donald Trump go down to their construction sites. They always had these construction projects going on, New York and other places, and he used to make Donald Trump go get involved down there. Now, when you go get involved with normal people and you talk to normal people, when you actually do it, you can learn things that cannot be learned in books, watching the television set, on social media. I can sit all day long. I could sit and listen to construction worker podcasts, if there is such a thing. I can watch construction worker documentaries all day long. I can write papers on them. I can do all these things, but unless I'm there, I grew up in a construction family, but unless I'm there on the job site, smelling the dirt, seeing the men, what do they talk about? What do they care about? Watching what they go through, the hardships, the triumphs, unless you physically experience what normal people go through, even if you're not one of them, unless you physically experience it, you cannot ever relate to them at all in a way that will feel and appear real. Donald Trump can pull off political stunts like working in McDonald's because A, he understands he doesn't belong there. We understand he doesn't belong there. But B, you can tell his respect for normal people. He does this everywhere he goes. He doesn't look down on you. It's one of his great benefits. And you know, I'm more than willing to criticize him when he's wrong or his flaws. But one of his great benefits is he's never been ashamed of you. He doesn't look down on you. Ordinary people like you, like me, who eat at McDonald's, I eat at McDonald's. He gets us. He knows what a quarter pounder smells like. He gets us. He's not beneath that. And the reaction, it's not just what Donald Trump did, but it's the reaction from the left. That is what is so telling about where we are as a country. Here's just a little sample of it.
What is the logic behind this, going to a McDonald's? I mean, we know the guy likes Big Macs and Filet-O-Fish, and he's used the word love to describe the way he feels about the food there before. But what's this about?
There's no logic to it. It's a stunt. He has not put forth an economic agenda. He, as you know, appears to be not well. And he's engaged in some really bizarre types of activities during this campaign. We know who Donald Trump is. Just look at him and what he's doing. And is this presidential? I mean, this is not what the country needs in terms of the leader of the free world and in terms of a person who's going to ensure our national security and peace and security in the world. Come on.
We had this talk before, but we're going to have to talk again really briefly here because I know we have a bunch of guests to get to. Bianca De La Garza is coming up. We have so many wonderful guests and things like that to do tonight. But our country, think of it like a big ball of Play-Doh. Stay with me. Big ball of Play-Doh, right? You know what Play-Doh is. And the leadership of this country, the elites of this country, they are part of it, right? You're part of it. I'm part of it. The elites are part of it. Everything's part of it. We're all in part of this big ball of Play-Doh. And Democrats, communists, have consumed and taken over all of our leadership institutions, all of them. They own the schools and the media and corporate America, and they have occupied and infected it like the cancer they are, and now they consume all those things, and that's bad, of course, that's bad. But there is a negative for them as well, you see. They took over all the institutions, and in so doing, they thought that they were the entire ball of Play-Doh, but they are not. They are not. You see, the citizens still matter too. And since they have so isolated themselves in these institutions, they are this little ball that is pulling away from the big ball. They think they should control the whole ball, but they do not. You see, They don't even know how to relate to the normal people in the big ball of Play-Doh. And try as hard as they try, and the harder they try to pull us away and pull us in their direction, they're not completely succeeding. What they're doing is, just like a ball of Play-Doh, they are slowly but surely breaking themselves from us to the point they don't even understand how we live. They don't understand how to relate to anything. There was a, this is completely unrelated, but I'll bring it back in a moment. There was a moment, Lizzo, she's some singer, who cares who she is. She was at a rally in Detroit for Kamala Harris, and she dropped this little line. Listen to this.
This is how a bad
stains
democracy. You couldn't even spell democracy.
You know, they say if Kamala wins, then the whole country will be like Detroit. Okay? Proud like Detroit.
Detroit. What's Detroit for Lizzo? It's private jets. You ever flown on a private jet? Because of what I do, I've gotten to three times, four times. Never mind. I don't have any private jet. But you know what it's like to fly on a private jet? You don't go to the normal airport. You may use the same runways, but you go to a completely separate area. You drive up. I remember the first time I drove up, and you have to press this little intercom. It's all locked in. And they buzz you in, yes, Mr. Kelly, of course. You drive your plane right out to the airplane, or you drive your car right out to the airplane, and all the attendants swarm you like you're really important. I'm sitting there, I have no idea what's going on, and they grab your luggage and throw you on the plane, and you get on this plane, and would you like a drink, Mr. Kelly? How about some snacks, Mr. Kelly? Are you ready to go, Mr. Kelly? And you take off, and then you land in Detroit. That's where Lizzo lands in her private jet. She lands in Detroit, and she's whisked away by her armored SUV's bodyguards onto a five-star hotel, eating at a five-star steakhouse, goes to perform in some big arena surrounded by screaming fans and security. We love you, Lizzo! And then on her way back to her private airfield where she gets on her private jet, Lizzo looks out the window and thinks she has now experienced Detroit. Again, that's not how the people of Detroit actually live. These people have no idea how to even relate to you. They have pulled away so badly, they're lost. It's why when people shouted at Kamala Harris, Jesus is King or Jesus is Lord, I forget what it was at the rally, this is why she, just her instinct, she responded like this.
Christ is King. Jesus is Lord.
You meant to go to the smaller one down the street.
I just can't relate at all. Good for us, bad for them. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. We are going to be joined next by the wonderful Bianca De La Garza. Before we get to her, I want to talk to you about sleep. Life can throw you some curveballs, huh? And look, we all have stresses and strains. Maybe days where we had too much caffeine, and sometimes it's hard to get to sleep, and you know that's coming. And there are a bunch of things you can reach for that'll put you to sleep, no doubt about it. But there's only one thing I've ever found that will make me feel good the next day when I wake up, and that is dream powder from Beam. This stuff is natural. Melatonin, things like that. Stop putting that garbage in your body. Have a cup of hot chocolate. That's what dream powder is. It's hot chocolate. Have a cup of hot chocolate when you need to sleep, and you will not only sleep, when you wake up, you will feel good. Shopbeam.com/Jesse Kelly. We'll be back. Pittsburgh, my old stomping grounds, not a surprise Trump would be popular in the old steel city. Joining me now, someone else who I'm sure is popular in the old steel city. She has a new book out. Everyone knows Bianca de la Garza. Her new book is Incoming, which I love. I don't know why I just love that. Maybe that's my old Marine Corps days. Bianca, Donald Trump being popular in Pittsburgh, in these Rust Belt places where blue-collar people are, is not very surprising at all. What I do enjoy after the McDonald's stunt yesterday is watching how much that grinds the people who live, work, and worship in Washington, D.C. and New York.
I know. It's kind of fascinating to watch every campaign stop that he just connects with real Americans. We saw it kind of starting way back when with the Bronx. And then, you know, he'll culminate. Mm-hmm. He's going to Madison Square Garden. Everything that he does, they sort of try to copy too. Remember, she went into a gas station and, you know, tried to recreate some, you know, charisma. And it's epic fail. Donald Trump does it effortlessly. And I loved the French fry moment. I loved the actual people that came up, Jesse, to the window. You know what? That was joy. That was real joy. And he said people are happy because I'm giving them hope. And he said that today, too. Someone in North Carolina, it was heartbreaking and also inspiring in some way. They said, we just said, if Donald Trump can just show up, he can just show up. And there he was.
Why does he relate? How does he relate? Because it's hard for people to understand and quantify. Some people can do this, some people cannot. Donald Trump doesn't work at McDonald's. Donald Trump probably has never worked at McDonald's. Donald Trump is a billionaire with a penthouse that's all plated in gold. It's ridiculous. It's amazing. He's the former president of the United States. Yet he can walk into McDonald's. He can walk into North Carolina ravaged by a hurricane, even always in a full suit, and still relate. One of the great retail politicians I've ever seen. Sadly, maybe the other one was probably Bill Clinton. But how does Donald Trump do that?
Yeah, and Bill Clinton was not recognized last week when he was at a McDonald's. Someone mistook him for Joe Biden, which I thought was really hysterical as well. You know, she goes, are you Joe? He's like, no, I'm Bill. You know, one of the things I write about, too, is this sort of elite ivory tower mentality that not just these career politicians have, but also legacy media. They want to tell you what you should think and how you should vote. This image right there, I think there's a side of Donald Trump that people have tried to, especially in big media, suppress for so long. There is this kindness. He didn't, remember, he's built things. He understands what it's like to walk onto a golf course or into a hotel and talk to the people who are managing his properties. This isn't somebody, yes, he's had some really great, you know, benefits in life, but, you know, he had that one deal very early on in his life in New York that could have went either way. So when he's somebody who has actually, you know, seen things through the worker's eyes, maybe he doesn't walk it exactly, but he has that touch point. He's not insulated. He's not in a bubble. And I think he has a heart that for so long, people have just been told that he's this self-obsessed narcissist. Now, he's a showman. But I just remember, Jesse, how popular Donald Trump was before he got into politics and how self-deprecating he was every time he was on SNL or all the pitches he did for all of his, you know, whether it be Pizza Hut or mattress or his ties. You know, he was able to make fun of himself, too, because I don't think he takes himself very seriously. And there is a sense of showmanship here. But at the end of the day, he knows what it takes to lead and to build. And he's surrounding himself right now with people who are not traditionally career politicians, but they also know how to lead and they have vision. And that is something that is so depleted in our current politics. Real leaders who want to go to Washington and actually do things for people and not just for themselves. And the corruption in Washington and the corruption at the legacy press is a huge problem. And they almost got away with it with Joe Biden, and they're trying to do it with Kamala Harris. And that's why the timing of my book, I just feel so blessed in a way that it's coming out days before the election, because people have woken up. And if there's a few folks who have it, what they will read here will sum it up for them pretty clearly.
I'm glad you wrote it, too. And obviously the subtitle, I don't know, I went to community college. You talk about the war on truth, the left's war on truth. Now, you and I know this business well, the media business. We know the people who are in it. We know the people behind it. What is it about people who do what we do, although not on our side, who look so down on normal people? I don't I don't understand it. What is this sense of self-importance where you can it just drips from them when they talk about Christians or Republicans or just not even Trump. Normal people, it's just such disdain as if, do they think we're peasants? Is that it?
Yeah, it's a full-blown contempt. Well, they're part of a club, right?
Yeah.
And they've been let in, and they think their club should be insulated and protected forever, and they're the establishment media of record. What they didn't understand is that now there are outlets and independent journalists and people who have actually the ability to garner a platform to reach millions of people, independent media, that they don't need the legacy networks anymore, nor should they even think about the legacy networks as the, you know, record of anything truthful, or they are propaganda. So I think where it kind of stemmed from is in a, you know, one chapter I talk about being inside the legacy media's lion's den, which is the White House Correspondents' Dinner, and the way they fawned over Fauci and Mayorkas. They are all together. And if their candidate doesn't win, everything goes away, Jesse. You know, everything that they have sort of clung to for their, you know, careers and for them to be able to ascend to these halls of, you know, so-called journalism. But what pains me is I've been doing this for almost 30 years. And when I started out, I was a street reporter. And I remember working in San Diego and covering the border. And it was nowhere where it is now. And the fact that these even local outlets can obfuscate and lie and know that they can, I don't know how they sleep at night. And I don't think it's not worth the price to be in that club is way too high for me as a journalist, because I take it as a privilege to be the voice for the voiceless. But you start to really realize that when the people who are holding the microphones are tasked with the job of asking the questions for Americans, when that breaks down, when that fails, if you will, we have perhaps not only a collapse of truth and transparency, but a real danger of shifting into something like communism, where there is no free press, where there is state-run media. And that's where I think we're so close to being today. And I hate to say that, but that's what I want to make sure people realize what's at stake. It's not left or right. It's information, and there's a war playing out right now.
There is. Can you explain why a journalist, even an accomplished journalist, would want a state-run media? Because you're 100% right on this. And again, you write about this in her book, Bianca de la Garza, book is incoming. Why would you want a state-run media if you're a journalist? That doesn't make sense.
I think at some point it's feeding the will of your bosses, right? So if you're told to, you know, do a show with a certain narrative, and thank God I work at Newsmax, we are not involved in any of this, and we are so free to speak our mind. We can even talk about God. We can talk about all these subjects that, you know, they would never be allowed to speak about on other networks. I think people are scared. I think it's human nature to want to self-preserve, Jesse, if you will. And I think they've lost sort of sight of who they're working for. I think we've had a lot of indoctrination at colleges by Marxist professors. So the younger generation of reporters who maybe weren't working in the business when I started back in the 90s, this is all they know. And all they know is Donald Trump is the enemy. And I think that's sort of, I've never seen it so clear where it's against sort of one person. It really is directed towards him. You know, Joe Biden can literally not know what day it is, and he's the best Joe Biden we've ever had. And when Donald Trump is now looking at, you know, Kamala Harris being replaced at the top of the ticket, they still write, he is unfit. And it was about Donald Trump right after Joe Biden was replaced. It's sort of an illness. It's a real sickness, I think, that's pervaded the media. And they can't stop. They can't help themselves, even despite two assassination attempts. It's this sickness that I think can only be cured maybe with this election.
Yeah. Fingers crossed for that. Bianca, you come join me anytime. I appreciate you. Her book is incoming. Go pick it up. She's somebody who would know. It's going to be worth a read for sure. Joining us next is Brandon Tatum. Brandon Tatum, former cop. He's got a lot to say about a lot of things. Before we talk to Brandon, let's talk about community some more. Putting our money where our morals are. We all have cell phones. That's the nature of the beast. We all have cell phones. I don't even have a landline anymore. We all have cell phones. So Look, that's going to happen. You're going to have one. Where do you send that cell phone money every month? Look, I've had Verizon, I've had AT&T, I've had T-Mobile. I'm not going to judge you if you have those, but it's time to stop sending those evil companies money. I don't even want you to take my word for it. Go look them up at what they do with your money. Go look at their charitable giving, what they do with your money. We fund the things we hate when we patronize these companies. Pure Talk is right there. You don't have to sacrifice anything when you switch to Pure Talk. Your bill goes way down. Your bill will get cut in half. You are patronizing a company that is about America and community and veterans. And you save money? There's no reason not to switch. It's the same 5G network, too. Here's what you do. PureTalk.com/JesseTV gets you a big fat discount, or you can call them 844-9-PureTalk. All right? Switch to Pure Talk. We'll be back.
So how has your rent been? So where was it like 5 years ago, the rent?
I mean, the rent was significantly lower. Now it's gone up about 1,200 cents.
Yeah, it's okay. It's a big increase.
My issue was more the energy. I've been paying $2,100 since I first opened up. In the last 7 months, it shot up to $15,000.
What?
It's $15,000.
And that's, you went from $2,100
to $15,000 in this establishment.
Oh, gosh. $2,100 to $15,000. Normal people can't live like this. And this is what is so lost on so many people in the media. Normal people cannot afford life anymore. It blows me away. Joining me now, Brandon Tatum, friend of mine, former police officer, host of the Officer Tatum Show. Brandon, this is what is lost on so many people, especially so many people who do what we do, that there are normal people. You've lived that life most of your life. I've lived that life most of my life. Dude, I can't just add 5-10 grand in costs for a year, or I have to make major life changes. I can't just do that. You can't do that.
Yeah, 1,000%. And the problem is that not only is the barber adding a life-changing event to, you know, to his finances, also the people who are getting a haircut. He can't just, it's not like he can charge the same price when his rent goes up. Now people have to pay more for haircuts. So now everybody's losing. And I wish that, and like I say, the elite people, they are the ones who are out of touch. They don't realize that people's money is becoming a lot more strain because of their failed policies. And I love the fact that Donald Trump went to this barbershop. Donald Trump is the president for the people, and he's getting the message out there that, look, something needs to change. And I'm hoping that people don't just listen to this clip or they experience what this gentleman is experiencing and just decide to do nothing about it. They better get their butts out and vote, or they're going to have something similar to happen to them in this next 5 years. And I think people don't want that.
No, I don't think people want that. I'm feeling confident about the election, but at the same time, I do worry, Brandon, about what you just kind of alluded to, that we've all either gotten complacent, either we're too confident, or people have checked out and given up. I feel that a lot when I talk to people. I hear a lot of this, Brandon. I hear a lot of, doesn't matter anyway, nothing matters. A lot of demoralization out there, and it saddens me, brother.
Yeah, I mean, it's sad, too, because I was talking to a lady that lived down the street from us, and she was walking her dog, and we got into a conversation about the election. And, of course, she was like, yeah, you guys, thank God you're voting on the right side, right? Because we got Trump signs and everything in front of our house. But she said, I'm very worried about the election. And to be honest, in reality, we should not be worried about the election. Donald Trump should sweep this woman under the rug like nobody's business. She's terrible. Their policies are terrible. Her track record is terrible. She's not a person of the people. She's fake. She's disingenuous. She got 400 accents. Every time she talks to somebody, she's being fake. Nobody likes fake people. We're sick of these politicians. That's why we got rid of all these other idiots and we chose Trump. So it should be a clear victory for Donald Trump in almost every state in the union. I would say he should win every state. But you still got people who are stuck on stupid, and they're not going to vote in their best interest. They're going to vote because she's a woman and all this other crazy stuff that people decide to vote on. And some of them people, some people are misinformed, uninformed, uneducated. They have no idea who's the first president of the United States of America. They're complete low information voters. So it shouldn't be close, but I'm afraid that it might be close because people are stupid. And then also people cheat. I talk to people on the left and some people that I wouldn't consider my friends, but they're acquaintances. I talk to them at the cigar lounge or whatever, and they're like, nothing happened in the 2020 election. And I'm like, you guys are completely out of touch with reality. Just because they say that it wasn't consequential don't mean that it didn't happen. And I disagree with them by saying that the cheating was inconsequential, because Donald Trump should have clearly won, because everybody loves him. Look at his rallies. Look at the parades that go around every city. Look at the signs. Look at the T-shirt. Look at the merch. I mean, people love Donald Trump. And these Democrats really don't have a message for the American people. And it's even more pervasive and clear now than it has ever been, especially after COVID, that these people don't have a plan for America. They hate America. They want illegals to run the country. They want men and women's sports. And it's sad, but this should secure an incredible victory for the Republican Party.
Yeah, it's sad. You are apparently have the patience of Job, because you've been traveling on college campuses and talking to college kids in this country. And here's how one of those reactions went.
I noticed you have the, unless I read wrong, you have the Make America Great Again.
Yeah, I do.
I want you to tell me exactly the point in history where America was great.
You know, it's funny. It point to me a time in history where America wasn't great. Point to, tell me where
it started.
The birth
of America?
This country was built on
murder and thievery and deception. What do you mean?
Now, let me explain this to you real quick. This is for everybody to listen to. Everybody always have this perception that we shouldn't acknowledge America as being great. America started at a certain point and grew and became and came better over time. Ever since you've been alive, America has been the greatest it's ever been.
You think so?
100%, brother. You can name somewhere else that's better than America. And why don't you live there?
I'm not sure.
I know you're not sure, because they don't exist.
Brandon, setting aside, obviously, and look, it's easy to make fun of the brain-dead college kid, but man alive, have we poisoned so many people's minds and our education system in this country, where people will really, they'll luxuriate in this country on their iPhone with Wi-Fi and everything else, just clean drinking water. They'll just luxuriate here and they'll think this place sucks, man. I don't get it. I don't understand it.
Well, I'll tell you what, it was incredibly disheartening being on a college campus where you have a young brother that I was talking to, and he wasn't the only one, that literally says that he somehow has a disadvantage in life and the white man is holding him back. And I say, brother, you're on campus with all of these white people. How is their experience different than yours? I asked him, I said, does your professors give you a different grade because you're black? Do you not have to study for your test? Like, explain to me where there's racism and where there's discrimination on this campus. And me and you are going to go fight today about that issue. He couldn't find nothing. Then he said, they have this thing where they say America was, when was America great? People are just completely stuck on stupid. And I told him, and it's not in this clip, that he should probably get his money back, because there's no way they're teaching you anything of substance and you're too dumb to realize what greatness means. It wasn't perfect. America wasn't perfect. But the idea and concept of freedom don't exist anywhere like it exists in America. America had a position and a point in time where it was great, and it's become even better. Just because some people were slaves don't mean that the country wasn't great and didn't have great potential. Just because, and I'll say it like this. I honestly believe this. I'll put the concept like this. When is an apple tree? When it began to sprout and when it began to grow, when it began to grow apples or produce fruit. No, it was an apple tree when it was a seed in the ground. When was America great? At the foundation of the concept that our rights are given to us by God. That is the beginning of greatness. And then we see it come to fruition over time. And this kid, and I said, when in your life, I mean, your whole life, America has been the greatest that it has ever been. I mean, this kid is much younger than me. When I was his age, or probably a couple years before him, we didn't even have cell phones. We didn't have Google. We didn't have the internet. We didn't have social media. There was no smart cars, no smart technology. You couldn't just ChatGPT stuff. I mean, bruh, this kid is living in the greatest time in American history where you can have all the information that you need at the push of a button. And this brother's complaining, and he's probably on scholarship. And he told me in the interview, when I was talking to him, that he come from the hood and everything like this. And then I said, brother, you a perfect example of the American dream. You could come from the hood, go to the University of Memphis, get an education, and then be the impact that you want to see in your own community. But you know what he said? Why do I have to be impacting my own community? Why don't they help us? I'm like, who, the white people? What are y'all talking about? And so it was a mess. It was good content, but it was a mess in these young brothers completely brain dead and on that victim plantation.
Well, keep talking to them, man. It makes a difference. You never know. That may make an impact on that kid 10 years from now. You never freaking know. Brandon, appreciate you, brother, as always. All right. The Electoral College. Campaigns, the news. It's hard to find a better journalist in the country. There aren't many of them left than Mark Halperin. He's going to join us in a moment. Before Mark does it, let's have a talk, an uncomfortable talk about testosterone. Our testosterone levels are dropping. Not a little. They're free falling. In the last 50 years, we've lost 50%. Of our T levels as a country. That is societal ending stuff. My friends at Chalk are trying to change that. Naturally, natural herbal supplements. I know there's a new clinic on every corner now. Come on in, get a needle jammed in your arm. Do you think that's good for you? A male vitality stack from Chalk will have your T levels up 20% in 90 days, naturally. Ladies, there are female vitality stacks. There are endless natural herbal supplements. No matter who you are, no matter what you're looking for, it can be found at Chalk. And when you go to chalk.com/JesseTV, you get a massive discount on anything, any subscription you get for the lifetime of the subscription. Chalk.com/JesseTV. It matters. We'll be back. All right, Election Day. We're like 2 weeks from Election Day. Isn't that crazy? Except I just misspoke there. Election Day is now. That's the kind of country we live in now. Early voting, mail-in voting, all this stuff is so big that Election Day is every day. It's today, it's tomorrow. And I figured we should probably check in with the real journalist because I most definitely am not one, but Mark Halperin most definitely is. He's the editor-in-chief of Two Way, host of The Morning Meeting. Okay, Mark. I am in a bubble. I'm the most partisan person in the world. So when I look at the state of the election right now, I say to myself, Trump has it in the bag. Kamala Harris is a disaster. This thing's going to be a blowout. Please, Mark, bring me back down to earth. Slap me in the face and bring me back down to earth. What's going on in this election?
Well, I think your candidate's ahead and favored, but not by a lot and not without the prospect of Harris winning, even without a change in trajectory. We've got seven states that are close, four in particular I'm watching. Donald Trump has clearly cut in Harris's lead, and Democrats will acknowledge she's behind Trump in several states. But when you've got this many states, seven, that are this close, can't say for sure, and I could make arguments for either one of them. There's strengths and variables on both sides. So I'd say not quite a coin flip, but not a sure thing for either candidate.
Okay. Again, I hear you say things like that, and I know you're right, but it drives me crazy. I can't stand that. How could that be? It should be a blowout. So explain it to me. How could that be? And I'm not saying anyone has to be the biggest Trump fan in the world. I have problems with him myself, but she's so bad, so disastrous that I look and I think no one could ever vote for that. Obviously, I'm wrong. Why am I wrong?
Well, you shouldn't be surprised to know, because I know you're not, that I talk to people all the time who feel the exact same way about your candidate. They can't understand how it could be mm-hmm. close. Both of them are flawed. Both of them have ceilings of support. And, you know, in the end, it's going to be a question of whose ceiling ends up being lower. Here's the reality. You have a lot of people who, whether they were Republican voters in 2012 or not, who will never vote for Donald Trump. That's just a reality. They just won't vote for him under any circumstances, and they'll vote for Kamala Harris or a third party before they vote for Donald Trump. That puts a ceiling on his support. This is not a guy who's going to win a landslide with, you know, 500, 400 electoral votes or 55% of the popular vote. He'll be lucky to get to 48 or 49. She's got more money. She's got the media on her side. She's a supporter of abortion rights, which is more popular broadly without any nuance than someone who's against abortion rights. And she's running against a guy who, as I said, has made a lot of political enemies who just simply won't vote for him. And while they're not enthusiastic about her, they'll vote for her. It's strange to me that those variables, you put those in the blender with all the things that Donald Trump has going for him. It's strange that somehow in 50-50 nation, that ends up with seven close states. You could imagine her advantages being either not offset or totally offset by Trump's advantages. And yet somehow, again, you throw all the variables in the blender and they're pretty close right now in all seven states.
Mark, what's his path to 270? Because everyone knows that number. Everyone who does what we do, everyone who watches me, you, we all know that number. How does Donald Trump get there?
The simplest way to think about it is to imagine him winning three states where I think he's well positioned right now. Not a sure thing, but Arizona, North Carolina, and Georgia. If he wins those three, then he simply needs to win one of the three big Midwestern or Great Lakes states, Pennsylvania, Michigan, or Wisconsin. So that's, I think, the easiest way to think about a Trump victory. The three Sunbelt states and one Great Lakes state, and he's president.
What's hers?
Well, her best path is the path that Joe Biden had, but it's a single path that leads to exactly 270. You recall moments ago, I said Trump could win any one of the three Great Lakes states to win. Her easiest path is to win all three Great Lakes states, Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin, and then Nebraska's second congressional district, as your viewers know, Nebraska allocates its electoral votes like Maine and like no other state. So that gets her to exactly 270, no margin of error. And again, that's where Joe Biden was before his debate. He had that one electoral college path too. She's showing strength in the Sun Belt. So does she have other paths besides that one to exactly 270? She does, but it involves winning Sun Belt states. And right now, my sources in both parties say that that's not something she can count on as a way to get to the White House.
I see, obviously, the big messaging of the campaign. It appears that their message is, as you alluded to earlier, vote for me, I'll allow you to have all the abortions you want. Trump's campaign seems to be, vote for me, I will fix the immigration system, and I'll fix inflation. On a larger level, those appear to be the main things that are working, or at least the campaigns think they are working. What isn't working? What is she talking about that is either hurting her or not helping? And what is he talking about that's doing the same?
Well, I'll take a respectful issue with how you characterize their arguments, because really right now they're both turning more towards negative arguments. And she says he's unhinged, he's unsteady, he's not qualified to be president. She's going for like a full knockout, saying this guy's not just a bad choice, he's unqualified. And the Trump campaign have used the same four words about her from the beginning, that she's failed, that she's dangerously liberal, and that she's I'm always forgetting the fourth word. I'm like Rick Perry. Failed, dangerously liberal, and untested. That's not the right word. Anyway, there's a fourth word. It'll come to me. So the negative frames are big. What I think is not working, ironically, is they both have problems that are their main problems with the undecided voters, and neither of them is doing that good a job of addressing them. Hers is policy, the P word of policy. Again, she's not crossed the bar of good steward of a good economy, fierce commander in chief, and people wonder what she's about. Trump's P word problem is personality. And we saw over the weekend a pretty extraordinary attempt to address that, going to a Steelers game, working at the McDonald's, hanging out in a barbershop in New York City. These are all attempts to try to get people to see him in a different light. Hard to do with somebody who's been around as much as he has. Failed is the other word, failed. So it's a battle to define the other person as negative and to define themselves in more positive ways. And like I said, what I think is not working for her is she's not defining herself positive enough. I think Trump has got, you know, more momentum right now, so it's harder to say what's not working for him. But I think it's he's failed to convince the people who doubt about his personality that he's truly someone that they'd be comfortable with for 4 years behaving the way he does, which even, as you know, some of his supporters are not fully in love with.
Mark, we needed that. We just needed that right between the eyes truth. Thanks for what you do. Thanks for being one of the last. I think there's about five of you left. One of the last journalists in the country. I appreciate it very much. All right. We have Light in the Mood. Next. All right. There was an Al Smith dinner. I didn't get to talk about this or play you any of this from last week. So Trump got up there and dropped some bombs. And since it's Light in the Mood time, we figured we'd bring you our three favorite. Here they were.
All polls are indicating I'm leading big with the Catholic vote, as I should be, as I should be. But I don't think Kamala has given up yet. She hasn't. Instead of attending tonight, she's in Michigan receiving communion from Gretchen Whitmer. Chuck Schumer is here looking very glum. Doesn't he look glum? He looks glum. But look on the bright side, Chuck, considering how woke your party has become. If Kamala loses, you still have a chance to become the first woman president. There's a group called White Dudes for Harris. Have you seen this? White Dudes for Harris. Anybody know? Are some of you here? White Dudes for Harris. Doesn't sound like it. But I'm not worried about them at all because their wives and their wives' lovers are all voting for me.
I'll see you tomorrow.
This is an iHeart podcast.